Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're of a certain age, some of you remember that slogan, No Fear. You remember that one? It started as a clothing line. It started out when the kind of extreme sports kind of got started. That little sticker, No Fear, was seen on the back of pickup trucks and cars kind of all throughout the country. It makes sense. The people who started that this clothing line and this slogan were motocross racers. And so that no fear theme kind of epitomized the attitude of the motocross race culture. Right? No fear as you risk life and limb with the throttle wide open. No fear as you hit those big jumps and flew through the air. No fear as you raced to the checkered flag at the finish line in pursuit of personal glory. No fear. Okay. Well, that's one way to look at things. We've heard already in our gospel reading that Jesus says something about don't be afraid or have no fear, though we got to say the context is much different. He's speaking to his newly called, commissioned, and authorized 12 disciples, those he's sending out. Right? His apostles. And he says to them, so have no fear over them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. The context matters, and it's certainly much different. For Jesus is clearly not sending these 12 men out on a motocross race in pursuit of personal glory. He's sending them out on a course that will lead to the Father's glory. He's not calling these men to risk life and limb chasing some selfish dream. He is calling them to follow after him, fully aware of what the risk is going to be. Jesus has called, authorized, and commissioned these 12 to do the ministry that he himself is doing. They are an extension of his preaching, his teaching, and the healing that is found only in him. He says there's going to be opposition. The no fear slogan in the 90s, it didn't last all that long, really, in the scope of history. Maybe you'll see a sticker here and there, even to this day, but not so popular. When it started, I can remember kind of mocking the slogan with my friends. We're trying to come up with all sorts of scenarios where fear would actually be pretty appropriate. Kind of like our kids did today, when you see bears, dinosaurs, or tigers. That would be appropriate, right? That's because the slogan promoted, really, a disordered fear. That is to say, fearing the wrong things. There should be a healthy fear of things like playing with fire, walking out into the middle of busy traffic without looking. That is a survival sort of fear. Now, to be sure, there are elements of that in Jesus' words. Right? Don't fear those who can kill the body. A survival instinct. But there's more. Jesus, as he's speaking and sending these 12 out, he is reordering fear, putting it in its right place. So when Jesus is talking about having no fear, he's being quite explicit that those 12 whom he has authorized, commissioned, and sent, they will be rejected, mocked, and persecuted. No question about it. And the reason for that rejection, mocking, and persecution is that these men are following in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus said to them, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master." So this means that as they go about proclaiming the kingdom of God, as they go about preaching God's law in all of its severity, warning others, as Paul does, that the wages of sin is death, that there's going to be opposition to that. And even when they're proclaiming the sweet news of the gospel, to look to Christ Jesus, who suffers the effects of sin, enters into death, so that he might overcome and share his victory with us, his life with those who rightly fear him, love and trust in him above all things, even still, there'll be opposition. See, Jesus doesn't shy away from what is to come for his disciples. And that's because he doesn't shy away from what is to come for him. See, that's the point. The road that Jesus walks, the path that the disciples are sent on, and even more, the course that Christ's entire church is on, is one that will always lead to the cross. Now, Jesus leads the way, and he doesn't do it with pride or arrogance, but with humility and service. He doesn't walk this road for his own selfish pursuit of glory, but to glorify the Father who sent him. He doesn't race by others, leaving them in the dust. He comes to them in their need of body and soul. He's not afraid to be spoken against as he associates with the culture's cast-offs. Jesus boldly and joyfully walks the way of the cross to suffer in his flesh and his spirit for the sake of others, for the sake of you. He willingly endures the shame and the humiliation of being stripped of his garments and lifted up for all to see. He even permits those who crucified him to mock his rule and his reign as king, with that crown of thorns pressed deep into his head and the sign above him that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Jesus dies knowing exactly what's going to happen to him. Jesus dies knowing what would happen to his disciples. Jesus dies knowing what would happen to his church. After following after him, they would die too. Yet the cross is his glory. It's his checkered flag. "It is finished," he said. He brought to completion the task that he was set for. He crossed the finish line. He ran his race, not for personal glory, but for the 12 whom he called, the 12 who would now be the new Israel, the first of those who would follow and live in faith to him. He suffered and died for you, his church, that your sin, your shame, your guilt would be put to death with him on the cross. He did this so that you would rightly have no fear, or rightly, a fear rightly ordered. To have a right fear, love, and trust in God above all things, not fearing the one who can take your life for proclaiming the kingdom, but fearing rightly the one who gave his life for you, the one who values you more than many sparrows. Consider this well, brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus does not send you someplace that he is not willing to go himself. Right? Jesus doesn't call you to follow him and then backtrack and just kind of leave you out there in front on your own. The only reason you have not to fear is that Jesus has traveled to the cross first. Are you mocked for your faith? Are you teased for your testimony? Are you slandered for your service? Well, remember that Jesus was first. And that when Jesus did it, it was for you and your salvation because he values you. When it happens to you, let it be for following after him. For if you're following him, there will be crosses. But have no fear. The cross is not simply a finish line for Jesus, and it's not for you. The witness of the Holy Scriptures is that Jesus is not simply crucified, died, and buried, but that he is risen and living. That what appeared to be his defeat ultimately proved to be his victory. Jesus has won for us our salvation. He has completed the race for us, and he now shares with us his victory by faith in him. Just as Jesus has called, commissioned, and authorized the 12, so he calls, commissions, and authorizes you to be his disciples, to follow after him. Remember that you have been baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that means that not only have you been given the family name, marked with the sign of his cross, you are partakers not only of his death, but also of his resurrection, his life. No fear. Not the 90s slogan, but the gospel truth that our Lord and Savior is with you in the midst of fearful situations, even with bears, dinosaurs, and tigers. No fear as you live a forgiven life, seeking to love and to serve others in the way that Jesus has for you. No fear as you confess Christ and his work for all on the cross. No fear as you are treated in the way in which our Lord was treated. No fear when the time comes for you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because Christ Jesus has already led the way and will carry you through. No fear in this age that is quickly passing by, for our hope is in Christ who lives and reigns forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.